Hey, at the end of this week's podcast, a fun interview with our friend Jason Aldean. Stick around to the very end after the jingle, the closing jingle, and then you'll hear the Jason interview.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show five days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one.
Pretty much,
that's how we get the podcast. The podcast. The podcast.
Yeah, baby.
Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Oh, the podcast.
The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
The podcast this week, once again, sponsored by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. And if you happen to drive by an O'Reilly today, honk your horn. If you're not stopping in, just honk. Just go, meep, meep, meep. That way they know you love them.
He said that they know that you love them.
Oh, I see.
Where did that come from?
I don't remember. It's that's a gold. I don't know. Just some guys say, huh?
We have so many golds. By the way, that's what we call those little weird artifacts of audio.
Things. Yeah.
We collect, like cards. Voices are fun to us.
Yeah, it's weird because that's the kind of the thing we deal in. We deal in sound and audio.
What'd you say?
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. There, better.
I'm pretty sure this is how that probably went on the show. We answered and said, "Hey, good morning to Big D and Bubba," and he said, and he probably said, "Yeah, hey, is this Big D and Bubba?" And we said, "Yes, this is Big D and Bubba." And he said, "Good morning." We said, "Good morning again," and we said, "This is Big D and Bubba." And then he probably said, and that's when he said, "Hold on." And we put him on hold and let Patrick talk to him.
That's exactly how those calls go.
We are like...
We'll give you a couple chances,
mm-hmm.
but I mean...
Yeah, we're not complete...
We're like, hey, go ahead, you're on. And they'll sit there and they'll be like...
Hello, huh?
A lot of times people just sit there because they you know, we have a delay, so there is a little time. And if they don't hear the exact same matchup, they don't realize that they're on the air. And it's like, it just... Talk. We said hello. Yes, we're talking to you.
Well, I mean, there's no delay. We're talking on the phone.
No, but I'm saying like they have their speakers up at the same time and it just, they don't get it. Not at all.
Yeah. Patrick, how many times in a morning do you think that we dump someone off onto you?
Not enough sometimes. Honestly, Bubba talks to people too long.
He does.
Bubba talks to people that he knows are never going to make it on the air.
Yes.
And they're just dragging time away from his life, and he just lets them talk.
That is true, Bubba.
Well,
that's
I'm trying to
very
be nice.
Bad.
You are a good chatter, man.
I want to be nice to these people.
Yeah.
I mean, but if they took the time out of their day to call, I feel like they should be on the air or at least, you know, get a chance to talk with us.
Also, you can politely get rid of people.
What?
You can.
What?
You can. When people have made their point, because you know that people repeat themselves. They do. They repeat themselves. Yes. So you can just find a point at which you know they've said what they need to say, and they don't know how to end the conversation, and they don't remember that you're in the middle of, you know, a radio show that's live.
And what's crazy is sometimes people repeat themselves.
Yeah. My favorite is, hey, you have a great day. And, you know, and then people kind of, people take the hint. That's my go-to.
Most. I would say, you say most, and that is a slim most. I'm going to probably say 60-something percent when you go, all right, well, hey, have a great day. Most of the people go, okay, cool. But there's 40% that will go, yeah, well, so, and they will go right back into repeating what they just said.
Or, little magic trick, ready? Hey, have a great day, okay? Yeah. Click, done. Conversation's over.
But I don't want to be rude.
I'm not rude. I talked to you. You made your point. There are six other lines ringing. Sorry. This is...
And those people get mad. As they're,
no, they don't
those
get
people
mad.
Get mad. Oh, yeah, they do.
No.
I try, and nobody ever answers.
Oh, those people
like,
get mad.
Well,
I'm talking about the one... Yeah, no. Nobody ever calls me and goes, you hung up on me. I said, have a blessed day. Like, what do you want from me?
Have a blessed day.
Like, did you?
Sometimes I do.
The older people especially, you know, tell them to have a blessed day. Oh, you have a blessed day. Oh, thank you. Click. Done. We are done. It's got to move forward. Yeah.
When my dad and I talk, we don't even say goodbye.
That's a good conversation.
It's the best. I got it from him. One day, Kathy goes, wow, you sound like your dad on the phone. You just, when you're done, you're done. I said, yep, that's where I learned it from.
That's true of D in every situation. That's true of D at work every day. When he's done, he's done. But
well, I mean, if we are done, if we're finished, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes if it's dragging on, it's like, all right. Well,
I'm not like that. I need to finish everything. And then, like, when I'm done, I go, no. Oh, yeah, but I have another thing that I need to do. That.
Bubba will find new things.
Yeah,
he doesn't. If I have to stay late, I always leave first 99% of the time.
I'm going to say 99%, yeah.
But
not today,
when
I
have to stay,
you.
When I have to stay behind to edit something or whatever, he has a hard time leaving. He finds it hard because he's like, he's here, I should be here.
Well, because I'm used to being here all the time when you guys are here, and I feel kind of guilty leaving.
Yeah, right.
I'm like,
I mean,
if
it's
leave,
it's
I'm
considerate.
Like,
he's just being considerate.
Yes.
No,
I'm
but then after you leave, he still stays. So it's not just that. He just doesn't like to leave.
Well, then he just, this is the clubhouse.
Exactly.
Bubba has,
cool clubhouse,
Bubba needs
man.
Clubhouses. I've learned that about him. He needs this.
He's got the fire station.
The fire station is a clubhouse, Tim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'll go the spot where he fishes. That's his club. Yeah.
You know, remember when Gunner went and did his community service because he's a juvenile delinquent and had to do 10 hours community service because he did 94 miles an hour in a 70, and he did it at the firehouse. Bubba was gracious enough to hook that up, and I went by when Gunner was there, and Bubba was there, and you totally see how it's a clubhouse
for
sure.
It's a cool
sure.
place to
it's
be.
It's a great place to hang out. You just hang out. Like, what if you're not going to do anything? It's no different than like, hey, I'm going to go hang out at the bar, or I'm going to go hang out at
the Elks Club.
Okay.
who says the Elks? The Elks are a
the
thing
Polish
still.
House?
That's a thing still. There's
really?
One
yeah.
Not far from your house. Yeah. There's
I didn't
an Elks
know
Club.
That.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. He and I live right next to each other.
I didn't know that. No, it is. Yeah. It is a cool place to hang out. I mean, as far as like you know, doing stuff and whatnot. I mean, you can go and you can kill some time there because you never know when an alarm's going to come in. You never know when somebody's going to need. You might have nothing going on all day until somebody says it's a slow day, and then, of course, that's when everything goes crazy. But otherwise, I mean, it's
Gunner
just...
did say that he goes, man, Mr. Bubba's really into being a fireman, isn't he? I said, yeah. I said, yeah, he is. I go, but how did you know that? He goes, you can tell, like, he was getting stuff out of his Jeep and, like, bringing it in, and, like, he had all kinds of gear and stuff. I go, well, I mean, I think they all, I mean...
Yeah, you have your
They
gear.
All have that stuff, but... He goes, yeah, I know. I don't know. You can just tell he's really into it. I go, I mean, he wasn't being like mean or anything.
Sounds like he's being mean.
He was just like
very judgy. He just you raised a judgy kid.
Boy, that's not the judgy one. It's the other one.
Or he's just very observant.
Yeah, Zach is the judgy one.
No, you have to. Okay, so like it's a volunteer fire station. So you travel with your gear. You take all your stuff in and out of the car. So yeah, as soon as you get to the station, you bring your stuff in and you have it ready to go on the engine. That way, if a call comes in, you can respond faster.
Also, if you're not that, like, what if you're at the house or something?
Yeah,
you
and
have your stuff. And
my
you can
gear's
just meet
in
them.
The back of the Jeep right now.
Yeah. So yeah, and they did try and recruit Gunner to be a fireman.
Did they?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did.
That's pretty funny, man.
Gunner was like, "No, thanks." He's like, "That's all right." And he goes, I've got other things I gotta do. It's a busy time of their lives, man. You know, do you guys remember, you know, that age of 17 to 20 years old and
barely,
you just don't even like, what do you,
it was a blur.
Man, it was just like, I was just going day to day, had no idea, no plan. There was nothing being no long-term thing.
You and I were both already working at that time. I mean, I started at 14. You started at 14. I mean, I was doing a full-time job when I was 17.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
At 20 years old, I was already working with y'all.
Like did you? How old were you?
20.
Oh, it was 20.
The week after my 20th birthday, I started working here.
Wow! Now look at you.
Now look at me. I'm
and for those
old
of
man.
You who don't know how we got Patrick involved in the show, he was working for a top 40 station, and we were sitting out a non-compete. Yeah. You know the whole thing. We were sitting on a non-compete, which basically means like whenever you're you know, leaving a contract, you can't go to work anywhere for 90 days or whatever it was.
90 days to go on the air.
So we would sneak into the news station we were going to, and we would do work late at night. Mm-hmm. and Patrick would be in there.
Not on the air, but
not on the air, yeah. But like just
learning the equipment and working on stuff.
Plus, we were bored. We were used to working all the time.
We didn't have a firehouse to go to.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The radio station is like a clubhouse. It really is.
So I was at the station down the hall doing like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., like late nights, and 19 years old.
Rockstar.
Oh, man. Let me tell you what, though. That was some fun. I had fun. It was fun being on a top 40 station at night in 1999 or whatever it was.
So, you know, I'm in the other room next to him, and they're supposed to be everything's soundproof, but, man, this cat was so loud. It was – dude, we were – I don't know what country he was bombing, but he would drop so many F-bombs. And I was just like, man – and he couldn't get a – like, he'd finish a break, and then he would just – turn the mic off and just absolutely berate himself.
Flam, flam, flam.
By himself and just slamming the thing and cussing at himself.
I was so used to nobody else being in the building. Too.
And I go to Bubba and I go, dude.
Big D goes, this kid's passionate.
Man, I go, you know what?
We can, like, is that what that is?
We can teach all this other stuff. You can't teach passion. This is a guy who really, he wanted to do it right. It bothered him. And I was like, that's what we need for a producer. I want someone who is like that on our side. And he was like, yeah, all right. So we went and told the GM or the OOM at the time that we wanted to, because they were going to, you know.
OOM means operations manager.
That we wanted to hire him to do, because they were going to hire, that's part of the contract, they're going to hire a producer. And we said, we want that, what would you go by? What was your name?
Nick.
Then? Mm-hmm. Nick Neon. Nick Neon.
That's
oh
right.
Oh my gosh.
That's right. Holy oh, we get into my deep
what
past.
A babe magnet. Hey, baby. I'm,
the ladies.
I don't
used
know
to
if you know, but
running.
Nick Neon has walked in the room.
Oh, man.
So we said, hey, we want that Nick guy to. Really? Why? Dude, he didn't get it. He liked you. He just like didn't understand it.
He didn't understand why
it was country.
We would bring you into our fold, I think, is the thing.
And you were not really you were not the country looking guy.
They offered me the job. He pulls me into his office and tells me I've got great news. I was like, oh, cool. What? And he said, Big D and Bubba, you met him? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're nicer than I thought they were. I thought they were jerks when you walked across town. Oh, yeah, they're all right. He goes, I've been helping them out at night when they have questions and stuff. Oh, yeah, cool. Well, their contract says they can hire a producer. And I was like, okay, cool, yeah. And he goes, well, they want you to be their producer. And I literally went, no, I don't want to do
it. Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
You're like Bubba. I wanted Bubba to do mornings, and he said no, too.
Your whole life is people just not
turning
wanting to work with you at first and then changing their
mind. That's awful. Carson, when we hired Carson, she was like, is D going to stay there?
No, he's on his way out.
Now we're trying to get rid of him.
Shh.
I was 20 years old. I didn't want to do country music. I thought it was my mom's music, you know? Now I'm like.
Because it was your mom's music at
now
the time.
Now I'm on the advisory council for the Country Music Hall of Fame, and I'm a CMA lifetime member and all this kind of stuff.
And you are becoming, what's the guy at SMAM, Stubbs?
Eddie Stubbs?
Yeah, you're becoming, you're.
Oh, wow. You're, I'm like four Eddie Stubbs. Eddie Stubbs is like.
Well, he's not talking about.
I mean, just
his
weird
knowledge.
Eddie Stubbs,
that I ever met.
His knowledge of country music is very deep. And yes,
I don't have that, but man,
but you're getting there.
But Patrick really does dive into something. Like if he finds out about something that he didn't know, mm-hmm. he wants to find out why he didn't know it, and then he goes deeper into more of it. So Patrick really is kind of like this encyclopedia of bizarre knowledge about music, not just country, but music in general.
I'll tell you what I enjoy doing is listening to WSM. On the weekends, late on Saturday nights, they play old Grand Ole Opry recordings.
Do they?
From like the 70s. The other night, I listened to Loretta Lynn singing at the Grand Ole Opry. And they were like, all right, everybody, and please give a warm opry welcome to Miss Loretta Lynn. And you hear the clap. That's like, I don't know, it's just so cool.
Do that
you know
old kind of clapping?
Yeah, you know, it's different. You know what I mean? It's like, it's got the mics are different.
Now we just put our fingers up and go. Mm.
No, we don't. No, we don't. We clap.
Yes, we do.
The Country Music
snapping.
Hall of Fame has audio archives of every country recording that's ever charted. So if something was a hit once in 1972.
Even minor hits?
Anything that was in the top, that was on the Billboard charts, supposedly, they have it.
They have the recording of it? What do you mean? Like the original recording?
They have it. Some of it's digital, but they try to archive everything. They have original. They have reel-to-reels. They have wax recordings. They have all this stuff. What you see in the Country Music Hall of Fame when you go and tour the museum is, I'm going to guess here, and hopefully no one from the hall calls me out, I'm going to guess it's like 25% of the building. It's not even that. It's maybe 15% of the building is what you see in the galleries. There is stuff underground. There's some of the archives you can see, like they have like a glass where they let you in.
Yeah,
you can
I've seen that thing where it's really cool because I'll watch them and they're like doing something to like a Porter Wagner jacket and they've got it up and they have white gloves on and they are like meticulously cleaning it or something.
It's
wet, like
the stuff that is in the back, the papers that they keep in all perfect climate control and meant to be there to archive it. So it's there. It's like the Smithsonian for country music. They take it that seriously. It's not just
the few outfits
you see when you go and the instruments you see. Yeah, that stuff's all amazing. But the stuff they are saving forever.
Remember the guy, it was from Graceland, though, but he brought us like Elvis Presley's old report card.
Crayons.
And his crayons. And like different little things like that. It was pretty cool to hold. I mean, think about it.
We had to put white gloves on.
Yeah, we had to put the gloves on, but we were holding stuff that Elvis himself held. And that was cool. And that's also why I think what's going on, is it Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night? The Country Music Hall of Fame is doing a thing where they're basically having today's country stars play the instruments of yesterday's country stars. Like, who were some of the things? Like, Tim McGraw's doing...
I saw the preview of this. Everyone has the same reaction when they first put that guitar or that instrument in their hands. It's like, oh my God. Okay, Brent Mason was here. And Brent Mason is not Hank Williams, but he's really, he's a legend in country music. And he had that Telecaster, what did he tell us, 1962?
Yeah.
Telecaster that he bought in the 80s at a pawn shop. So a lot of that stuff that he's famous for playing on a Telecaster, all those Alan Jackson licks and the Joe Diffie and Brooks
George
and Dunn, and all of that stuff,
everybody.
He played on that guitar.
That guitar will go in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, and I just holding that guitar, I was like, yeah, this is going to be in the hall someday.
Yeah, we were going to get coffee after the interview, and Patrick would not let the guitar go.
It was like it had power.
And I kind of started laughing. I said, dude, are you going to put it down? He goes, it's magic.
It's magic.
did his eyes roll back in his head?
I think so.
Start speaking in
when
Latin.
When you talk about Bill Monroe's mandolin, like, okay, Bill Monroe changed music forever by inventing bluegrass, but he did it with that mandolin, this 1923 thing that was as old as he was, that it's just there's those kind of things, man. His sweat and his skin and everything is in that wood.
Oh, that's kind of gross now, dude.
But it's,
are you saying there's like little particles of skin in people's instruments?
Probably, yeah, in the wood. Oh. The wood absorbs all that. It absorbs
keep that in your brain for some Jurassic Park stuff.
Ah, we could clone Bill Monroe using the sweat on his mandolin. It can be done.
Bring him back, Hank Sr. Life will find a way. Woo! Dude.
So it's a big fundraiser for the Hall of Fame, and it's going to be Wednesday on their YouTube
page. But I do want to tell people it's free. It's
To watch.
You know, it's free to watch. Right. If you want to donate, that's great. But we also want I'm trying to get the people to tune in so the numbers are higher. So if they can do stuff like this in the future. And
Kane Brown is going to sing a Randy Travis song with
Randy Travis's guitar.
Okay. Carlene Carter is going to play, an old guitar from
1928. Okay. No, I'm sorry. I have to stop you there.
What?
That's the most famous musical instrument possibly in all of American
music.
The
1928
Gibson that belonged to Maybelle Carter. So that's the invention of country music. The Carter family...
I saw this
Jimmy
whole story
Rogers
in
going,
Walk the Line because that's where like Johnny Cash was like, what?
The Carter family and Jimmy Rogers going to Bristol and recording in 1927 is the start of country music. And Maybelle Carter, basically, she was 18 years old and 8 months pregnant. She taught herself how to play the guitar when she was a teenager and then just kind of invented this thing that was different. You either strum the guitar or you pick notes out on the guitar. And she kind of did both. She was like, don, 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 chicka, don, don, chicka, don, 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 chicka. She was playing the bass notes in the melody and strumming at the same time. And no one had ever done that. And literally everyone does that now. Everyone from George Strait all the way back to Hank Williams, they all learned how to play the guitar. They all used elements of what Maybelle did.
So her granddaughter, Carlene Carter, is going to actually play that guitar.
Yeah,
does anybody know like when the last time this instrument was played?
Yes, I do.
Of course
I'm a
nerd. See, this is what we're talking about.
Okay, so
he
knows
that stuff.
I just want to so they made money off of that. Those recordings in 1927. And so she needed a better guitar if they were going to start doing this more. So she went out and bought a $400 guitar, which is like spending, or it was like $275, which is like spending $4,000 today. It's a very expensive guitar for these people who were living in the hills of Appalachia.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful instrument. It sold in 2004 for $575,000.
What?
So whoever had it, and no one ever said which member of the Carter family had inherited it, they sold it for...
Yeah, I sent you a link, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They sold it for $575,000. An anonymous donor bought it and gave it to the Hall of Fame. And so when that happened, Vince Gill, who's kind of known for being a great guitar player, went to the Hall of Fame at the ceremony where they were going to put this in the hall, and Vince Gill played Maybelle's guitar.
Okay, I'm going to play a little clip of this. PlayStation, Facebook. Here we go.
That's one guitar.
No, that's two.
Go out wine with my mangoes and waving black
hair. So is that her sitting down? I'm assuming. I don't know what Maybelle Carter looks like.
And the myrtle so bright with the emerald dew.
Okay,
and there's somebody in the back who's literally playing the
auto harp.
Yeah,
No, that's not an auto harp.
I can't
that's
see
like
it,
the
so.
Little the chank chank chank. You know, like
the washboard.
Yeah, washboard.
Oh,
yeah.
No, that's it's not.
Not a washboard.
No, it's an auto harp. What is that?
That's an auto harp.
It's an auto harp. Yeah, it's got strings on it.
Now Maybelle and her daughters.
Maybelle's on the front there.
So this is years later. This is in the 50s or early 60s when Maybelle would go out and sing with her three daughters, one of whom married Johnny Cash.
Oh, I see it now. So, it does have strings. Yeah. It looked like it was a washboard.
That was a clip taken from the Country Music Hall of Fame, by the way.
See?
Yeah, that's really cool, man.
So, yeah, I think Vince Gill's probably the last guy to play that guitar before it went into the case.
And what year was that?
That was 2004.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Are they
going to
pull it out
and
tune it first, or...?
I was talking to Tracy Lawrence about it, and he was saying, does it have the old strings on it? Like, did they change the strings? Or were the strings new when they put it in? Are those the strings Bill Monroe played too? I'm like, I don't know, but somebody should ask these questions.
Isn't the string kind of like the main sound of the guitar
is,
or the mandolin or whatever?
Strings. No, the magic comes from the wood, but you do change strings. I mean, strings get old and they just kind of lose their vibrance,
mm-hmm.
You know. So I have no idea. I guess
Miranda is going to play John Prine's guitar. That's kind of cool.
Ashley McBride's going to play Loretta Lynn's guitar. Tim McGraw's going to play Keith Whitley's guitar. Like Dan Tominski, who's one of the best guitar players ever, is going to play Buck Owens's guitar.
And they should do like a Night at the Museum type spinoff movie, but the Country Music Hall of Fame.
And all the country stars come back to life
at night.
Dude, that'd be so cool. I'm just saying, somebody's going to steal that idea from us.
We just want our percentage. You heard it here first. The date is Friday, October 23rd. So
that was our idea that we had.
Yeah. Let's see. Brad Paisley playing Don Rich's guitar. Ricky Skaggs playing the Bill Monroe thing. Marty Stewart playing Lester Flatts's guitar. So did everybody buy this D28? What is a D28? Like, I don't even know. Is that
type
just
of Martin.
Okay.
It's a... I don't know. It's just the
I've heard you
of
say that
guitar.
Like 500 times here in the studio. Guests will come in and you're like, oh, D28.
It's just like a big, fat acoustic guitar.
Huh.
You know.
Okay.
There's a shop right down the street that called Groon Guitar, and it's like a museum. It's this really crazy. You go in there and they have new instruments, and then they have like
I went in there with my brother-in-law one time.
Gibson. Guitars that are worth $100,000.
Yes.
Just sitting there.
And they have like a back area. You have to be invited into one like area because all the guitars are that crazy expensive.
Did you go?
No, I wasn't invited.
Oh.
No, I know people.
I can get you in. You
really? Yeah, next time he comes in. Yeah, for sure, because he's like way into that.
You know, it used to be on Broadway. You know, they turned it into a bar like everything else. But the shop used to be just down on Broadway. Just, I remember it was literally like going into a museum every time. You go, who spends $100,000 on a guitar?
They did an old Visa commercial, a Visa card.
I remember
credit
that.
Card commercial there.
They did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, it was one, during that campaign when you're in Nashville, you know, do this and go to Groom Guitar.
And remember to use your Visa. Yeah. Yeah.
They do this and this and this, but they don't take American Express.
Oh, I'd like those commercials. Yeah. No offense to American Express, but I remember all that.
Yeah.
I like American Express. They lowered my interest rate.
See?
They can't. Thank you, Amex.
Yeah. It got a little crazy there. I called them like, hey, any way we can get that lower? Absolutely. I was like,
was that all I had to do?
Oh, okay. Why
didn't
I do this 6 months ago?
First things they teach you when you're dealing with debt is call your credit card company and ask them to lower your rate.
Yeah.
If you've been making your payments on time and you're a good customer, they'll lower your rate.
Yeah.
They don't want you to refinance.
I told you, speaking of refinancing, I'm redoing the house thing as per your suggestion. Got a great rate. Mm-hmm. Life is good.
You did get a good, what you get, you know?
I don't remember, but I know it's going to save me like a lot of money, like every month. It's going to be crazy, and I'm very happy.
Yeah.
Significant amounts.
Yeah, it's rates are really good right now.
It's like getting a raise, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you are. But, I mean, a lot of people like try and consolidate stuff and put it together and they think they got rid of their debt, but you didn't get rid of your debt. You just
lower the overhead, though. I mean, if you're not refining all that stuff and you're paying, like, if you got a bunch of credit cards at 17% to 20%, mm-hmm. 25% in some people's cases, interest rates, you can't ever pay that down. I mean,
yeah, you're just trying to keep paying
interest, yeah, right. And at that point, you're just staying afloat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, refi, throw it all together at a lower rate. Even if you get let's say 8% compared to 25%, you're going to have a better chance of paying it off.
But you gotta get rid of the credit cards.
Yeah,
for sure.
If you've got five figures of credit card debt, the only way to get out of it is to get rid of the credit cards.
Yeah, right. It's, you know,
it's a spiral.
So many, like, yeah, you start getting into it, and it's a slippery slope. You start getting in it, and then you're like minimum payments, and then God forbid you miss a payment, yep. And then
your interest rate goes up.
Then your interest rate goes up. Your FICO score goes down, and then your debt goes up, and then your FICO score goes down. 35% of your FICO is on timeliness. 30% is amount of debt to ratio. What are we doing?
I don't know. How do we get into FICO scores?
I don't know.
Refis.
No, man. That's pretty great, man.
We're idiots. Don't listen to anything
that
we said.
The Hall of Fame. That thing's going to be cool.
Yeah,
totally
night.
Watch that.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
On their YouTube channel for free. So.
I will say there's a guy who reached out to me on email, and he sent the longest email basically talking about, you know how on the show I talked about the fake beer, like the near beer?
Yeah.
This guy said he was an alcoholic. He said, I'm now on day 23, because I guess he sent it this morning. He said, I'm on day 23 of sober October. And he said, I was really struggling. And I just want to let you know that I heard you talking about the non-alcoholic beer and the whiskey stuff that I brought up. And he's like, this gives me hope that I can do it. He said, because I just crave the taste of a beer. He's like, all that. And he's like, I'm going to try that to get me over the hump. I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah. Patrick's like not very happy with that, but I'm like,
I've never understood near beer, and I really don't understand the purpose of fake whiskey.
Yeah, do you
it's
really crave the taste? No.
Some people do, though. It's Look, that's the one thing. Like when I would go to a bar, and I'm like the designated driver. I hated standing around with a Diet Coke or a Coke in my hand. It just, you feel dumb. You get like a bottle of something non-alcoholic and it feels like you're still holding a beer and it tastes like you're still drinking a beer, and it's not a bad way to go, because then you're not feeling weird, you know, like
my self-esteem is higher than yours. I don't mind holding a Diet Coke.
I
back.
Carson just loves Diet Coke.
That's no, true.
Carson
it's
not is even that unashamed I, it's about not even Diet that Coke.
I'm ashamed of holding the
you
Diet Coke.
You said you felt weird.
No, I feel weird because
you literally just said that.
No, because I want to be holding a beer and tasting a beer is what I'm saying. It's the weirdness of you're in that that climate of you're in a bar situation and you're with a social group of friends and everybody's drinking and you just kind of feel like, man, I want
peer,
a beer
pressure.
Too.
You're far too sensitive.
It's not even peer pressure. It's just I want.
You just said everybody's there. Your friends are there.
Right,
you
and
you
I'm
just
watching
described
them.
Peer pressure.
No,
to
because
a
nobody's telling you what to do. Nobody's going, come on, man, drink a beer. Nobody.
But
I'm
you
just
felt
saying.
It.
It's
you
not
surmised
even
peer
it.
Pressure.
What'd you send me the other day? What was that, Bella?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh.
You mean about the liquor?
Oh, that yeah. It was that fake whiskey
fake
stuff.
Whiskey.
Yeah, it was that. I got some of that too because a friend of mine and I were talking because you know, like often. You'll want to have a drink with your boys and you can't because like, especially at the firehouse, you, once you do that, it's like 8 hours, you know, you can't have a drink and then go on a call and, you know, go expect to do CPR on somebody. So we were talking about it and I was telling him about the fake beer and the Sober October thing and all that. And he's like, well, that would be cool. So I ordered it and I got some. And the whiskey stuff was not really, it smelled fantastic. It smelled like a bourbon candle. Which, oh, it smelled so good. But the
They sell that oil.
Mm. Well, we need that because the smell of it, the scent is amazing. But the actual drink itself is, it's kind of meh. But if you drink it with, like, if you mix it with, like, a Coke or a Diet Coke or whatever you're going to, you would do your regular alcohol with, it tastes like a watered down, like the ice melted in it kind of drink. You know what I mean? Like if you left it sitting there for 10 minutes and you picked it back up and you were like, oh, yeah, this is what I was drinking. It's like that. It's not terrific, but it's not terrible either. Again, if you're somebody who is struggling, you know, or let's say like you're a pregnant lady. And again, I'm not a doctor, but I'm just going to say if you're pregnant and you want a drink, that's where you could get the feeling of satiating that, you know, scratching that itch.
So I'm reading some of the comments on one of the sites I go and get my candle scent, my oils, and they have a whiskey scent, and they're like 5 stars. The scent can be overpowering, but it's great mixed with other scents. It's very strong, great cold throw and hot throw in candles. Another person says, hard pass. Another person says, this is gross. Another person says, don't do it. This hell in a bottle does not smell like whiskey. It's an insult to whiskey lovers everywhere. This one is so sad about this smell. I'm a huge lover of whiskey, but this smell is awful. This is like half and half. Hey, this is really great. It's a good masculine candle. Yes, I love whiskey, and this is the best scent ever. I mix it with creme brulee for a bourbon cream fragrance.
Ooh. Mm. Do you have like soda, like Pepsi or Coke, and you can mix the bourbon with the Coke, and it'd be like having a little Jack and Coke in here?
God, this person said they could smell it through the packaging.
Oof.
Wow. Well, you know, Big D is not a big drinker anyway. Patrick is the bourbon guy, and I just like, I'm the beer dude. Just give me a beer.
Don't pigeonhole me.
I'm not, what?
Whiskey.
I'm sorry, whiskey guy.
What'd you call him?
I said bourbon.
Well, because we were talking about the bourbon thing just now. And anyway,
it's a good sign in your life when you have to make sure you're not pigeonholed into a specific sect of the alcohol.
Oh, I have some friends who are like bourbon snobs. Like my buddy Damon it's all about bourbon and nothing else. Tennessee whiskey is like abhorrent to him, and Scotch is stupid, and it's all about bourbon.
But he's fun.
He's fun, actually.
I was thinking, man, what a great
Kentucky.
Way to identify yourself.
Yeah. Hey,
that
man,
right there, you are a swipe left.
Yeah.
Swipe.
I'm a bourbon snob. Nope.
Listen, you want to go to Damon's house and drink whiskey. That dude has, I think of all the bottles of whiskey I have here, and imagine how much I have at my house, and that guy's got 5 times as much as me.
Wow.
It's like walking into a fancy liquor store.
We call him an alcoholic.
No, it's about having different ones.
So does he go home at night and just have like a small glass?
I don't know what he drinks on a regular basis, but I've been out over there with him when he's got people over, and he might have 2 glasses. It's not about how much you drink. It's about drinking really,
it's quality,
really good stuff.
Does he smoke cigars?
I just remembered.
Hey, I'm going to run out to the Jeep real quick. I have it in the Jeep still.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have the fake whiskey?
Yeah.
I like to smell that.
Oh. Oh,
make sure you get good.
God, that was a pre. That's just a reaction.
You already
I had.
Know.
I already know it's gonna. Y'all, it's gonna.
It's gonna be it's awful.
Gonna be so bad.
It's gonna be all right, so
when
gross.
So when he comes back in, let's pick up in the conversation where we were, like 10 minutes ago, talking about the Hall of Fame,
and just see if
and see if he can freak him out. Yeah. So yeah, he started getting into this non-alcoholic stuff. But whatever. I mean,
you do you.
You do you.
Yeah.
Wait, we don't have to actually drink it, do we?
No.
I'm not.
No.
No.
No. It would make your breath smell like liquor. And isn't that weird if you get pulled over for something?
What is he doing? Is he getting ice?
No. Oh, is he getting us cups?
Of course.
Oh, my God. Oh God, he is.
He's getting cups.
No.
Oh, he's seeing
no.
Mm.
Nope.
So.
Wow. So Mother Mabel's guitar.
Whip it out, man. Let's do this.
It's unbelievable.
Well, we tried. Well, here's the bad thing is I just realized there's no ice.
No, that's so, you don't that's want what's really going to no be the wants, problem with this.
No, but I'm saying you don't want to drink it neat. You don't want drinking it neat is
you don't
not want to
drink
it
at all. You don't want to drink this.
Hold on, BD, gonna... you want to smell this?
Yeah, let me smell.
All right, don't spill.
Okay, really don't.
Well, I was letting you know that the top was off.
Oh my gosh!
What do you think of the smell?
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a vanilla undertone to it. It's not a terrible smell. It's kind of
I would not call that whiskey. It doesn't. That's not what it reminds me
of. Oh.
Okay, I didn't think it was bad.
Pass it back to Carson.
But it's not at all.
No, it's not alcoholic.
Hey, go get your. Let me compare.
Get a
real one.
Candle.
Yeah, I think you're right about candle.
Let's
that's
go
what
back
I said. I said it smells like a bourbon candle.
I couldn't wrap my brain around the idea that when you said it smells like a candle, but I think you're right.
Now go back and forth between this one and
Woodford Reserve double oaked. Very nice. And it was a gift. And it is.
I can't tell the difference.
Oh, yes, you can. Smell that. It smells like.
Someone take a picture of me right now. I got two bottles of.
Double fisting.
Double.
It smells like maple syrup that went bad.
Yes. That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
It is.
You are spot on.
It's also got a little smell. It smells a little raisiny. Oh,
Patrick is offended by the odor.
I am.
Yeah. Hey, Baba, man. I love you, but this
with
is
mothballs in it.
When you should go back and forth. Back and forth, it's like, ooh, okay.
The idea is you don't want to go back and forth. The idea is you're trying to.
They're not even in the same league.
Yeah, they're not this. It's not. But
I think some of it got on my nose.
Oh, you'll be smelling it all day. All the rest of that, you'll be like.
And here's the thing. I know how you make whiskey. I don't know how you make it without alcohol. So it can't be actual distilled spirits.
Okay, I will tell you this. You can absolutely tell the difference between
no,
the
really?
Real. No, but I'm saying you can.
Hey, don't spill it.
Yeah, thank you. I was just saying earlier that there was nothing on the top.
Oh.
How here. Would you pouring?
Is he going to make us here. Drink it?
So,
no, I'm not.
I'm saying D, who doesn't drink alcohol.
Oh, dude, okay. He gave me this much.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
You gave me, that's like 2 inches.
I put Diet Coke
in it.
Coke
in. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I was going to it doesn't smell that bad. It smells like Diet Coke.
I mean.
Is it like Diet Coke with maple?
Yeah.
Like you put syrup in Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not good.
But again, I wouldn't. You try it.
You wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't know the difference.
Dude, you want regular
Like
Coke?
If you told me that
no,
was.
No, he's keto.
Oh, that's true.
If you told me that
is this a regular Coke?
That's just Diet Coke.
Hey, that doesn't have sugar in it, does it?
Are you, hey, well, you didn't know. Of course it probably does because it's not real
Again,
distilled spirits.
I think it's just watered down maple syrup.
And they add flavoring.
Oh, Patrick is so offended.
Oh, God. It tastes like, you know what it tastes like? That stuff that dentists used to use. Remember that you'd have to hold it in your mouth? It was like fluoride when you go to the dentist. And that's what it tastes like. It is not good. I need a real shot of whiskey.
Can't drink all day if you don't start at noon.
Well, I'm going to try another
He's even got to get the real glass out.
Dude, we need cigars. I'd smoke a cigar right now.
Now, I have these fake cigars.
Oh, yeah.
They're made out of bubble gum.
Yeah.
Cardboard. It tastes
not
just
a real
like the real thing.
Just cardboard and mint.
All right.
Look at Patrick drinking out of a glass that has his face etched
into it. Glass that has
it.
My name and my face on it. That's right.
This isn't terrible. It's better with ice. I mean, honestly, you throw some ice in there, geez. And it's like watered down whiskey.
It's like trying to get kids to eat asparagus.
That's a good whiskey.
No, it's not that bad. We'll put some cheese. Put some,
that's a big deal. Wow.
Butter.
Yeah.
Cow.
Good stuff,
man.
Well, Big D's not used to the burn, man.
That is so burny.
Woo, yeah.
Ooh, my tongue. The tip of my tongue is like is.
Yeah, whenever anyone tries to tell you it's smooth,
no,
lies.
This
your
smooth.
Tongue
this
is
one's,
numb.
And this one's only 90 proof. It's only 45% alcohol.
Wow. So how much could you drink before you started getting drunk?
Oh, maybe 3 shots of this. I mean, before you notice I was tipsy.
3 shots.
Yeah.
We know.
Maybe not even. Oh, yeah. Listen,
Patrick,
there's a reason.
He's suave.
There's a reason I have that nickname. It's a notable marker at 5 Whiskey Patrick. That's the point at which that you need to stop it there. Maybe 6.
Chris says we have near beer out here in Kuwait. Since we aren't allowed any alcohol, and it isn't too bad. I'm telling you, the near beer is way better than the fake beer, like that Heineken 0.0.
I think fake beer
O'Doul's.
Is stupid, but it's better than whatever the...
that's what I was telling you. The near beers are actually pretty good. Like, the O'Doul's Amber that I was drinking yesterday, I was like, this is pretty good. It's awesome. And did you know...
I didn't know alcohol's banned in Kuwait.
Well, it's an Islam thing.
I bet boys are still drinking. I see a lot of lawbreakers out there.
Guys, there was a bunch of guys who got caught. Remember? Like a bunch of guys got caught smuggling alcohol in a while back.
They say it's against the law for us to drink alcohol. But I see a lot of lawbreakers out there tonight.
Can you pull up old Matthew?
I am. Hold on.
Pull up Matthew. We need to hear him.
All right.
Oh, yes. The best from Magic Mike.
But I think I see a lot of lawbreakers up in this house.
We see a lot of lawbreakers up in this house tonight.
God, I cannot stand Matthew McConaughey.
Really?
Really?
I used to like him. You know what? I liked him until he started doing those absolutely trash car commercials.
The Lincoln commercials.
Wait, you got to do your fingers. You got to do the little. You got
him rolling his booger. They're so
sometimes
terrible.
It's to clear your headspace.
It's so bad. It's like a joke.
It is a joke. It is. Yeah, I mean,
you're right. It is a joke.
It was just an excuse to get Matthew McConaughey driving in the car.
And
I'll
tell you right now. What else bothers me now that I'm liquored up?
from the sip of
you got
whiskey
that
you
maple
got?
Syrup. I get
it. Yeah, I'm gonna let her rip and let you. I'll tell you everything.
It bothers you? It's because he doesn't wear a shirt.
No, I also don't like the fact that he goes into the University of Texas locker room before football games and gives them a pep talk.
He doesn't do it every time,
dude. Bet he does it anytime he can. That bothers me because I know he's just going in there. To feel like he's something.
Like he's a player.
Yes. And all those guys, trust me,
important.
Who is this guy?
Who is that?
Yeah. Because they're all 19 and 20.
Hey.
They haven't seen the Lincoln lawyer? Is that what you're saying?
David, is that your dad? I think that's David's dad.
They all look at the kicker.
Yeah.
Oh, it's his dad.
Hey. Foot, that your dad?
Foot.
You know that's what they call the kicker. They call
Dicker.
Foot.
Dicker the kicker.
Yeah.
That's his name.
All right. I'm leaving now, so I hope y'all have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, man, have fun.
I think I see a lot of lawbreakers up in this house.
Up in this house.
Have
you ever seen Magic Mike?
I haven't, actually. What? I know, I'm such a... I'm,
what?
Patrick's
I'm a
seen
traitor.
It 4 times.
I'm a huge fan.
I did eat at Channing Tatum's restaurant, though.
He has a restaurant?
In New Orleans.
Oh,
was
God.
Everything over too oily?
I mean...
Please tell me there's
Look,
an item on the menu called Channing Tatum's.
It was a girl's trip.
Channing
and
Tatum's.
And, of course, one of the girls like, we got to go to Channing Tatum's restaurant. And it was like 5.
He might
so at this
be
point,
there.
I've already thrown up twice. I don't care. And so
y'all know how Carson never drinks? You know, Carson doesn't drink at all unless she's on a trip.
Unless I'm out of town. That's when I drink. I don't drink in town.
Okay.
Oh, by 5 o'clock, Carson was probably hammered.
Oh my God. So I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
And then I'm like, I'm gonna order the crawfish. Real good idea to get crawfish at Channing Tatum's restaurant.
After you're drunk. Yeah, how's that? You could base a whole book on that. I went to New Orleans and Channing Tatum's had crawfish,
there's all
and a thousand
places.
Beers.
I decided that was a good. Oh, what do I spill everywhere. They're bringing me cups of water. I immediately dump them all over the
table.
Yeah,
but in a city famous for its food, you don't go to Channing Tatum's restaurant.
Maybe it's great.
I wasn't really part of the decision. Probably. I was just being dragged.
How are the mountain oysters?
Those we did not ask about. Well, you know what? My friend might have asked about certain things she shouldn't have. I don't know.
Man, dude, chicks live a total lie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And,
for appetizers, they have a bowl of nuts.
Yeah. And they think
it's the cutest thing ever.
They don't think that we all know. That's the thing. They continue to play this thing out like we don't see through it and know what's going on. Yeah, we know what's going on. Bubba and I went. Remember, we went to the club. We were talking about this the other day. We had to do that Texas club gig back early in our career.
With the strippers,
and we walked in and they were doing the male strippers before we got. Like it was like a special Wednesday, whatever.
It was Magic Mike, light.
And man,
the guys weren't even hot.
Guys don't even act that stupid.
No, they don't.
Girls, they were way inappropriate.
Like feral animals.
Yep. And remember stripper you guys got me for my birthday?
Yeah. I remember.
And we talked to him, and he was like...
By the way, let's not gloss over the fact that for Big D's birthday one year, I got him a male stripper to come in.
God, sometimes I can still smell him. I just get a whiff of him.
How thrilled, though, was he walked, when he walked in and saw you guys?
Oh.
He must have been thrilled.
Well, he knew ahead of time. He knew ahead of time. We told him the whole thing.
He said he was just as grossed out as I was.
Yeah.
And,
but let me tell you, all the women in the building found their way to our studio that day.
It's a thing. I guess it's like if you go full-on stripper, like it's okay to act like a flues, I guess. I don't know.
Flues.
A flu?
We're going to use malarkey next.
Did Larry tell you to say that? Were you channeling?
Said, he was talking about some flues that he saw down in Sparta.
But I think I see a lot of lawbreakers
down in Sparta.
Remember the stories that guy would tell us?
He said,
he would go and do these private gigs.
Gosh.
And they would just, they were very handsy.
Handsy and all other the things, other Z's.
Other things are not good. I'm just saying.
They were whipping out the Z's. It was crazy.
Flooses with a Z.
Yep. If a guy were to do that,
he'd go to jail. Go to jail.
But it is also encouraged at those demonstrations.
Sometimes it's not.
When you go to the Thunder Down Under or Chippendales or something, they because that's how the dudes make their money is the interaction.
Well, it's just because like with a female stripper too. That's how they make their
money.
But
like men will at least sit there and like, oh, she's dancing. You'll throw her a couple bucks. Like women, we are so stingy with money. It's like, no, he's not cute enough. Like because I've been to one and it's like, oh, I have like $5. He's not getting that.
First of all,
I gotta pay for parking.
You went to a male strip club with $5.
You're a flues.
What a flues.
Go back
to Sparta.
You want this $5?
In my defense, it was my birthday, and I was surprised actually if my friends handed me a wad of cash. But in my cheap way, I'm like, can I just like pocket this? My friends just handed me a wad of ones. I'm like, you can put that in my pocket for later.
You don't call $5 a wad of ones. I'm sorry.
I had more than $5. Oh, okay.
Are they stripping out the Dollar General or something? Yeah. Clear out the back.
They got a guy walking around with a bucket and everybody just puts quarters in it. Quarter bucket. Come on. Quarters.
It was
laundry
day.
What did you used to say when you worked at the strip club?
If you.
I always like to remind people. I remind people that Bubba and Patrick used to work.
I didn't know that. I don't think my mom knows that I worked in this strip club.
I'm so sorry. I didn't
She's not watching this deep into the podcast
my mom's
now.
Not watching.
I just outed you.
You're too late. Tell us.
When I was 19, my buddy Rick, who worked at a nightclub in town, the guy who owned that nightclub was opening a strip club.
And where's this at?
in Brulee, Louisiana. No, it was in Port Allen. It was in Port Allen, Louisiana.
Capital of the adult entertainment industry.
And I was only 19, and I wasn't old enough to work there. But because Rick had recommended me, the guy just hired me. When I walked in, talked to the guy for 5 minutes, and he hired me.
Rick Cantu?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Rick Cantu.
I was trying to avoid it.
Oh, well, you said
but Rick didn't work there. Rick worked at a legit nightclub, like a dance club. The same guy owned both.
Okay.
So it was like, yeah, well, I can't do it, but I get my buddy at work. He's got all the, you know, I had everything on CD. I worked in top 40.
Maybe you've heard of him. Nick Neon.
Nick Neon.
Dude, you were destined to work at a strip club.
Famous stripper DJ.
Nick Neon.
No, so it was the worst job I ever had. It was so bad. I did it for a month. I worked maybe 5 days. I was like the fill-in guy.
Now, you always hear like other guys that have never worked in that industry be like, that'd be the best job ever.
Dude, I'm 19 years old. I was making like $8 an hour to work in radio, and these guys were paying me what after you, the girls would tip you at the end of the night, okay? All the girls had to give tips to the bartender and to the
Nick Neon.
Right. And by the time it was all said and done, I think I would make like $17-$18 an hour.
Wow.
To stand there and play music.
Nobody cares that you're even alive in that place.
No, I'm up in a booth, you know.
So what's
I'm
so
playing
awful
music
about
and
it?
Watching
women
girls
take their
dance
clothes
naked
off.
Yeah.
So what's like the bad part about it?
It was just a sad place. It was just a man.
It wasn't like I was working. Is that when you started drinking your whiskey?
Yeah, that was it.
But can you give us some of your lines?
I only remember a few, but I remember the guy who trained me, okay? The guy, this was his full-time job. He used to say things like, get up there and put some green on the scene, gentlemen. That, coming up next to the main stage, the lovely and tasty Candy. If you're looking, you need to be tipping. And if you're not looking, something's wrong with you.
Did you do the whole like thing?
No, because I didn't have that. I was like 19. I was out there going, hey, guys.
And then you'd play like,
Pour Some Sugar on Me and She's My Cherry Pie or, you know, Pink by Aerosmith was a big one, I think.
I love everything about this.
Oh, it was so uncomfortable. The owner was mean. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you play a song that the owner didn't like, he'd be sitting there just drinking at the bar, not paying attention to anything, and he'd come up and scream it, you know. Don't you ever play that song again! Mm-hmm. Look at me!
Did you
look
go under,
at me!
Under a bridge just now?
Oh, yeah.
He would yell at you like that, though?
Oh, yeah. He was awful.
Oh.
Was
did awful. You ever say...
He was like 7 feet tall, too.
Did you ever say, I can see a lot of lawbreakers up in that house.
The best part about having that job was not the money, although that was pretty great when I was poor and 19. And it was not the naked ladies. It was the fact that one of the strippers was a girl who worked at the radio station, and none of us knew that she worked there. Until she came out on stage, and there she was.
So
and I was like,
she walks out, and she doesn't know you work there either at the time, and then all of a sudden you two co-workers are also co-workers in two places.
Yeah.
Here's Chloe, but her real name's Amber. You can hear her weekdays on 102.5 The Power.
I was like, she's like, could you do me a favor and just not tell any of the other guys at the radio station that I work here?
And you're like, can you do me a favor and not tell anybody that I work here?
Yeah. I think that was the deal, actually. I think it was enough.
And you guys would you see each other at the station and kind of like wink at each other?
Mm-hmm. She was a lot nicer to me after that because she knew I had her secret.
Was she hot?
She was really cute. I don't even remember her name. I remember her fake stripper name.
Please.
It was Micah. It's because she had a brother, and that was his name, and her tattoo on her arm said Micah. So people just assumed that was her name.
Was her brother dead?
Who tattoos their own name on their arm?
People.
Obviously, it's not.
Port Allen, Louisiana, Bubba. I've seen some.
No, she tattooed her brother's name.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't
pass away or something.
I don't know if he was dead. I don't remember. This was 20 years ago.
I mean, that'd be weird if he wasn't. Not that I wish this guy to be dead.
And I remember another thing, and I really can't say it on the podcast, but she had another noticeable thing that I wouldn't know having worked with her at the radio station.
Uh-huh.
She, yeah.
I know what you're saying.
She had extra holes in her body. Let's put it that way. With piercings in them. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, there you go. There's something that
extra
I'm never going to be able
to. Piercings in them?
You are not good at this game.
Yeah.
Would you say they were a matched set?
They were a matched set. They were. Yeah,
thank
she had
Carson.
Two of them.
You're welcome.
That's very nice.
Thank you. Why is she?
Mm-hmm. And every time I saw her at work after that, all I could think of was, you have pierced parts.
Carson, I'm sorry. If you want to leave, never
no,
come back.
Can I leave?
Can we all leave, please? Okay. Hey, you know what? Jason Aldean, guys.
Yes, for those of you watching on Facebook, we're going to put the Jason Aldean interview at the end of the jingle. And for those of you who are listening on any kind of listening app for the podcast.
And for those of you who are my mom.
God, I can't believe I did that. I thought we talked about that.
20 years I have kept it a secret that for 3 weeks in 1998, I worked at a strip club. And my mom.
Well, now that we've
never known.
Broken the seal, can we talk about it on the show?
Okay, sure. Okay, we'll talk about it on the real show next week.
All right, guys, thank you. So have a great weekend. Nothing but love.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. That's
God.
Okay, because you can listen to the regular
if you
show.
You should be tipping
on the radio.
Hey, look at what's wrong
every
with you.
Day.
What's wrong with you?
It was the podcast.
That's awful voice.
I think I see a lot of law.
Right. All right.
Jason Aldean, look at me. I got a number one song. Woo.
Woo.
Yeah. Still is exciting though, right? Do you remember? Of course, you remember your very first number one song. Where were you when someone told you about your very first number one?
I think I was on the road. It was Why. It was the second single off the first album, and the first single had been Hicktown. I think it cracked the top 10. I think it got to 9 or something like that. And we were excited about that, man. So the next song was Why, and we were. You know, it gets to a point where you feel like, all right, I mean, you pretty much know that it's going to go number one that week. But for that song, it was kind of like we didn't know for sure. It could go, but it was going to be close. And at the end of the week, we ended up pulling it out. And I got a call from my record reps and just, like, congratulate me on my first number one. I was on the road. And it's just it's one of those things. I just remember thinking, man, I don't even if I never have another one, I can always say that I had a number
sure.
one record.
Did man, you? But I think how kind of lame that is that they were just giving you phone calls. Like I would have surprised you. I mean, if you're my guy and it's your very first number one, I would have gone a little crazy. I'd have been like showing up with a llama, being like, "Dude, you're number one llama. Here, celebrate."
You're number one.
Oh, believe me, we threw one hell of a party about the next week. But back in those days, I mean, I was on the road, you know, 230-240 days yeah. a year. So
I mean, you're new. You're I mean, everyone now, you Jason Aldean. I mean, but man, then people are like, I don't know. And also, I didn't know Hicktown didn't go number one.
I thought it did.
That's really surprising.
Yeah, Hicktown. I always tell people it's like it cracked top 10. I think it went to 9, but it always plays when you play it live. It plays like it was a 3 week number one.
Yeah, there's a lot of songs that we did a whole thing on the show once about songs that you thought were number one. But weren't like Kenny's
Track to Sexy
never went number one.
There's a lot of anthems, like country anthems that you just think
Fancy.
And you assume.
Amarillo by Morning.
Reba's Fancy was not a number one. Amarillo by Morning, not a number one. Patrick's got
Amarillo Sky was not a number one.
Amarillo
what?
Sky was
it
not.
It wasn't?
Yeah. No, we had it. We had, so Why was the first single that we had that went number one? So Hicktown. Amarillo Sky came after that. Then Johnny Cash was after that. None of those were number ones. It wasn't until the first single from the third record we had another one, which was She's Country.
That's crazy, man. See, and yeah. I thought Johnny Cash was number one too.
I forgot about Johnny Cash, the song. And well, anyway, did you? Are you ever? Are we going hunting this season together?
Hey, just tell me when, man. I haven't been yet, actually. I'm trying to go to Ohio in November and then go to Kansas in December. So, but we've been, man, with two kids at home, it's tough to get away. Mama needs help at the house. So,
dude,
like,
stop.
You got three kids.
Two kids.
You got three kids. You got her, and then she's in charge of the two little kids and also the big kid, you.
that's true. But anyway, so I'm just trying to get out of the house for like an afternoon at this point. But we've been in the studio this week and different stuff. So it just seems like every week we got something going on. But I'm down, man. Whenever you want to go, let me know. I got a place down here south of Nashville, so.
All right. I saw the picture of you in the studio that you posted, and I'm like, wow, they really do use those old music stands, like from band in high school, to hold up lyrics still.
Dude, you know what's funny is, so the studio that we record in is a place here in town. It's called Treasure Isle, and I started coming here recording in 1998. And before I moved to town, I moved to town at the end of 98, but I was coming in to town before that and working with my producer, and we were cutting some songs. We cut at that same studio, and it looks like it's been around since the 60s. I mean, it's like everything's old. Part of the building burned down at one point, and they rebuilt it all. And so there is nothing new in that studio. There's been nothing new in that studio for over 20 years. So.
Yeah, I was looking at the picture. I went, wow, they still use those old-timey stands?
I'm looking at it. I am looking at it now. It looks
old-timey.
Yeah.
It is, man.
It's kind of retro.
Old, but for some reason, we go in there and cut, man. It's just our place to go. We've cut every album there.
Jason Aldean hanging with us. Always good to have Jason on. He is he's one of the good guys. Everyone asks us, everyone wants to know the worst. Who's the worst artist to ever come in? And we, you know, of course, tell him Chesney. But then we, no, kidding.
Luke.
I'm Luke,
Brian.
Of course, Luke.
I'm curious, do people actually go to you guys, like other artists, and go, who's the worst radio guy you ever worked with?
No, they usually ask artists. Like, they want to know the artists. They want to know which artists are cool, which ones aren't, you know, and it's like...
No, I'm talking about other artists. Do other artists go, oh, my God, you know, I hate...
That's what he's talking about. Oh, is that what you're talking about? You're talking about fans.
Well, typically fans on that. But you're saying, do other artists ask about radio guys?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think we all kind of, you know, we all meet all the same guys, you know what I mean? So...
Well, there's people in radio I don't like.
Well, I mean, you got your ones. You know the ones that are cool.
Yeah, I think you are. Like, I think we already know.
When they call to interview you, they have no idea. They're like, so, when's the new album coming out? I'm like, well, it's been out for 3 months. But, you know.
It's hard.
Do your homework.
I will tell you, though, it is hard sometimes. Especially when you get some of these artists, sometimes I don't know who they are. And
like, they're so new?
They're so new. And like, we're really not on the song. And I mean, I'm trying. I called one person the wrong last. I said, well, your real last name is such and such. And I had the wrong, completely wrong artist. Like, dude, it was awful. But
he probably made a good impression.
Yeah, it just really made her whole day. She was so excited to come
actually,
in.
Actually, Google had it wrong.
Yeah, they
Big
did.
Big D Googled some information, and Google was wrong. Yeah. So, like, her people are fixing all that. But it's, crazy.
Yeah, anyway. But
well, then I think you're good on that if Google had it wrong. That's what everybody looks at Google. If Google's wrong.
Nope. Bubba
can't
uses,
be blamed for that.
Bubba uses Bing.
Bing. Bing?
Yeah.
He doesn't even know what it is.
He's like, what is this Bing thing?
Bing. It's the alternate Google.
I just want to do something different than everybody else because you guys all get the same results for everything. I want to see different stuff.
Well, and I'll say this. As an artist, like when you do interviews, you're right. Like most everybody, they get all their information from the same place. So they all ask pretty much the same questions. So it's really cool when you do an interview and, you know... You have different questions to answer, or they bring up something really random that, like, you don't talk about all the time. It just kind of makes it more fun for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I get it. I was looking at Patrick had sent some stuff about you commenting on Got What I Got, and you said that it reminded you of a Boys to Men kind of vibe. And lo and behold, guess who had a Boys to Men story? Bubba. Bubba hung out with Boys to Men.
Well, I was doing hip-hop radio back in the day, and I was there for the Water Runs Dry video out in the middle of White Sands in the desert with him. That was a good day.
I remember the video.
Yeah, I was there. What you don't see in the video is me, but I was there.
I remember the video well. And I went to see them one time in Atlanta. They opened up for Luther Vandross, and I went to Atlanta to the amphitheater to watch the show. And... It was an experience, man.
Dude, I bet that was awesome.
You
I
were,
love me some
you
Luther.
Were und, you were underdressed. I can tell you that,
dude, for sure. But it was so cool. Like those guys are so good, and And then I had a chance to meet him. We did the Boston Strong show years ago after the Boston bombing, and they had a bunch of artists there, and Boyz II Men were one of the acts that came in to help out with that show, and I was there, and so I got a chance to meet all those guys, and very cool, super cool guys, and just really talented, man. I always love listening to those guys.
You're in the same list, by the way. You're in the very cool, super cool list.
Absolutely, you are. Absolutely.
All right. He's got a number one. Go check it out. Got what I got.
But I appreciate it.
Dude, you know we love you, man.
Thank you, Jason. We appreciate it. Make sure you take care of those kiddos, and we'll see you soon.
Take care of mama.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
See you, man. Later.